ears and dry your tears. The Koshcast is here to allay your fears. It's been an absolute goal bonanza in the Premier League. At White Hart Lane, Manchester City are left to lament the officiating, as Lamella and co. leave the citizens needing to Otamendi their defences. At the King Power, Alexis outfoxes the Foxes as he blasts Arsenal past Leicester, while Liverpool rudely ingest Aston Villa. And at St. James's Park, Mbabu makes sure Newcastle do the bare necessities against Chelsea. Elsewhere, we've got Mumus, Lewandowski's rapid fire, Messi's ligaments, and a guest interview as we examine Lazio's poor start to the Serie A season. Hit me, Mbabu, one more time. Welcome to the Koshcast, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we are live from Mohamed's bedroom. Rashid's protesting already.
I prefer to say studio.
Well, you can call it what you like, mate.
Or
it's a bedroom.
Quarters.
Anyway, Rashid is here, Bernie's here, Mohamed is here. It's a foursome. It's lovely. And you three won a game recently. Tell me about it.
We did. The trophy is out in the living room right now. Being kept by Mohamed.
You mean the room next to the head headquarters?
in the trophy room.
It's the producer's studio.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
We had our Under the Kosh FC final for our outdoor soccer tournament. And we absolutely annihilated a really good team, 4-0. Played really well and fully deserved. And we're really thrilled.
I have to say, Mohamed, man of the match performance.
Thank you.
Captain's performance. A bit like Roy Keane for United in the semi-final against Juventus, but except for the fact that he didn't get himself sent off. Because
Even though he was getting needlessly fouled by the other player.
And harassing the referee at every turn, Mohamed was.
Mohamed also hit the bar on a free kick.
He was actually pretty useless, now I think about it.
I heard one of the opposition had some Vinnie Jones-esque ball-grabbing tactics.
Though. Oh yeah, the Asian dude.
I did get punched in the leg. Very close to my, you know what, the crown jewels, as you like.
Yeah.
But it was unnecessary.
True, my brother...
the same guy who consistently fouled Mohamed.
Yeah, my brother got grabbed in the cross for no reason.
Oy.
Like, yeah, it was... Whatever, they resorted to those tactics. It was almost Chelsea-like.
That's how you know you won.
What is this, Hotter like?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
We also missed a penalty in that game.
Right, at 4-0, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's getting married, too.
Yeah, congratulations to the penalty misser.
Let's hope he does better on his big day.
Yeah.
When he is once again on the spot. Nonetheless.
All right, very nice. Let's get right into it then. The Premier League, as Alex did say in the intro, which had an unbelievable amount of punnage, I have to say, for this week. I enjoyed it. So many goals. Let's start with the 7-goal fest. Leicester 2, Arsenal 5. I think the best game of the next one we'll get to, one of the best games of this week. I thoroughly enjoyed it because it was two teams that were trying to just play football and not really defend at all.
Yeah, this was great. This was Mourinho hates Ranieri and he hates Arsene Wenger, and this game encapsulates absolutely why, because he cannot stand it when two teams just go out and attack and try and score goals, which is exactly what these two teams did.
I mean, they went and they attacked and they tried to score goals, but at the same time they defended like knobs. It was some of the worst defending I've seen in a very long time, but I think that's what that was a great advert for the Premier League, so to say.
Yeah, I think that's why we watch it, rather than people getting fingered in the face.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, you have to say there wasn't much else to do. You know that Leicester have scored in every single game they've played. They're still undefeated up to this point.
Yeah.
And Arsenal, you know, they're known for their attacking prowess. So it was going to be attack versus attack all the way.
Leicester opened the scoring. Jamie Vardy with a beautiful, to assist himself from that long ball. He kind of extended himself in midair to kind of get the ball.
Nice cushion header to
break. Very nice. And then the finish past Cech. Really, it's the only spot he could have put it in to get the goal. It was such a small angle. He's doing great. He got his England call-up recently. I think it's deserved. I think should get it again for sure.
He looks pretty much the best striker in the league at the moment. You can't argue with it.
Yeah.
He is the top scorer.
Yeah, that. I mean, he scored two in this game. He scored the very first.
So he's got six now.
He's got six.
It was almost Martial-esque his two finishes.
Is Jamie Vardy worth 50 million?
I mean, you need to give him another season before comparing to Anthony Martial.
I dare say that
his second finish was more of a Lewandowski-esque finish.
It was really good.
We'll get to Lewandowski.
Yeah, Vardy is just getting all the plaudits. But Arsenal did come back into the game really well after their kind of not very good first kind of 10-15 minutes. Sanchez... People were saying, you know, he's been really bad for the past six games. Some were giving him excuses for being tired from the Copa America and whatnot. And then this one, he after one game became Arsenal's top scorer with the hat-trick.
Well, I think this was an example, and you've said it a few times, is that once he gets one, the floodgates will open.
Oh, definitely.
And to be honest, like, he didn't start the game that brilliantly. Walcott got the equaliser, which was a very good goal. Similar almost to Vardy's first. Like,
very good counter-attacking.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Leicester had just hit the bar with the header. It was literally from the same move. They
Vardy
hit the
really
bar,
should have actually scored.
And then the counter-attack and the goal. So that would have been 2-0. This could have been a completely different conversation.
Yeah. But that's what Arsenal need to do once in a while, is when they're not playing well. Because Arsenal are known to have played on the counter a lot under Wenger. Until recently, where it's become very stale, tippy-tappy. Before that, it was a lot of counterplay. And if Arsenal are not playing well the first 15 minutes of the game and they go 1-0 down like this, a counter-attacking goal against the run of play is exactly what you need. And then you just get
into it. If you look at Walcott's speed, that's exactly what it's designed to do. Leicester are going to play a high line because they like to attack. And he doesn't... The thing about Walcott is, I'm not going to compare him to Thierry, but in a similar sense of in just the speed aspect, Henry would never... He was almost never offside.
Right.
Because he just would actually start behind the defender. Theo Walker can do exactly that.
He could afford
that,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so the game ended 5-2. I have to give props to Monreal, who had an unbelievable game and an assist. Kept Mahrez really quiet all game.
Bellerin was actually brilliant too.
Yeah. The fullbacks did really well. And you know what? This is maybe the game that Arsenal need before playing United next week, because the goals have been lacking and the confidence was low. But it's a good kind of position to take into that important big game.
It was. The only thing I'd say from a Leicester point of view, you know, we've mentioned, well, we love to see two teams go at it and attack, but it's hard to deny that it was a bit naive from Leicester's point of view. That, yes, they scored two goals, but if you're going to play Arsenal and you're going to leave space in behind, you will 9 times out of 10 get beat.
Well, if I'm Leicester City coming into this game, I have nothing to lose. I'm just going to go for it.
I disagree.
No, I think that's exactly what they did.
I disagree. I think you've seen from many other teams that if you defend deep and hit Arsenal on the break, you can pick up a point, maybe even three. And Leicester could have done that.
If they had defended deep at 1-0, I think it would have really frustrated Arsenal.
Well, you take Walcott out of the game by doing that. So Anyway,
good 3 points for Arsenal away from home. Leicester no longer unbeaten, so Arsenal's 49-game record is intact for another year.
We were scared for a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of that unbeaten record, City were also unbeaten going into the game this weekend.
No, the
previous weekend.
Oh, right. Yeah. They did lose to West Ham.
Yeah.
I forgot. When you play West Ham, you do lose, right? That's always happens.
Yeah, if you're playing at home,
Spurs absolutely decimated them at home. Spurs coming off a pretty bad loss to Arsenal in the Carling Cup. Not bad in the sense it's bad, just because of the rivalry there. So it was a great kind of way to bounce back.
Did they fix Wijnaldum in time? Because Arsenal fans ruined Wijnaldum in that game. Yeah, so I was like, did they get the job done before this game?
Well, they got arrested, so the community service was probably like fixing it.
I have to say, Man City opened the scoring in this game, and after that they had chance after chance. They were looking very dangerous. And to see that the final score ended up as 4-1 is a real turnaround.
Well, City were really good up to the last minute of the first half. That just the timing of the goal with Spurs getting the equalizer just
and
in the dying moment.
To be fair, there was an offside involved.
Oh, yes, mate, there was an offside involved in 3 goals. I mean, the De Bruyne goal was brilliant. And speaking of excellent counter-attacking play, I mean, that was perfection. Yaya Touré ran the length of the field.
He was slightly offside.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind giving the striker
the
advantage on that because it was that close.
Here's the thing. The tip of his boot was offside, okay, when we look at the replay.
Just the tip?
Just the tip of his boot, fine. But what if that shoe is a bit big on him and his toes don't reach all the way to the end? Technically, he's not.
That is a very...
Yes,
so now
we need
before,
to check.
We need to just like,
yes.
Like push
so
his toes and
yes.
see what's going on.
Yes.
What Mohamed is calling for is x-ray vision from the fourth official.
Technically, I'm not wrong.
I would actually love to hear what a linesman, if they actually... Like, you know, in Germany, they actually... explain their decision.
Yes.
Right? I would love to see they're like, yeah, his toe was offside.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're stupid. Does it make it, like,
the
why?
The only place you're going to get a 100% efficient offside call is in FIFA 16.
Yes, that's
Are we
true.
Doing an ad for FIFA 16 now?
We could. Great advert for FIFA 16.
Are they paying us to say that?
I could do with a free copy.
Please, guys. Please, EA.
The first half ended 1-1. Tottenham definitely up in momentum. And then on, you said De Bruyne's goal was off.
De Bruyne's goal was off. And let me just say, in the build-up to that goal, Kyle Walker with a terrible pass. You can't let go of Kyle
Touré
Walker.
With a great through pass. Kind of waited
wonderful.
Perfectly. Yeah.
Absolutely
and the finish
wonderful.
Was brilliant from De Bruyne.
It was. But the equalising goal from Spurs, Kyle Walker, was 2-3 yards offside. I mean, that is honestly one of the worst offside decisions I've ever seen.
But you see, the linesman was just Because the linesman, the way he does it is he stands where the last defender is, and if the guy throws right, then it's offside. But he was standing past Walker even. So Walker could have been a couple more yards and still would have called it.
It was quite remarkable. Right. But nonetheless, ended up with Dyer outside the box and a brilliant finish
for
Dyer.
Which he deserves to be on. He's been playing great recently.
After the play seemed dead too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Man City defenders literally stopped. They're like, this is so obvious.
Sterling was still standing in the same spot before and after the offside. With his hand in the air.
Yeah. But again, that's amateur.
Otamendi and the Mikelas not having the best partnership all game, to be honest.
That's a slow partnership.
That is a slow partnership.
Six goals in two games.
It was more Demichelis to me.
Otamendi was fine. Otamendi was fine.
Well, Bernie at the same time likes to blame Demichelis for everything.
which is usually correct.
All goals conceded.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a Man City team. They've been playing on the field.
I do dislike Demichelis.
Second half, Spurs scored another three goals. Eriksen with a brilliant free kick, and then Kane did break his drought.
He was
offside too. But unfortunately, he was offside too.
The one that wasn't was the Alderweireld header to make it 2-1 was legit.
Yes.
And then Lamela to make it 4-1 was also
legit. I have to give huge props to Lamela this game. He played a brilliant game from start to finish, absolute perfection. If he plays this way every game, Spurs basically have a new signing. Like, they just do.
It's as if he started, like, getting iron in his diet or something, you know?
He had a third lung this game. He was running way too much. I was like, what are you, Sanchez? Like, this is not right.
If they get Lamela to play the way he was playing at Roma, then this could be fun.
Yes.
But I still don't think
regardless
so.
Regardless of Tottenham or not, I would enjoy watching Lamela having a good season.
Yeah. Just like you enjoy watching Son.
Well, yeah.
Just to put some things in perspective from Man City's point of view, that's three losses in the last four games they've played.
Yeah. Yeah, Juve, West Ham, and...
Is that three in a row? Like,
they won the Carling
included.
Right.
Which, by the way, Aguero as well, he doesn't get any criticism, but he should. He's been missing sitters. Like, I mean, the ball comes across the box, and he mishits them over and over, and it's weird to see. I mean, I think Pellegrini playing Aguero in the Carling Cup game just shows you that he was just trying to give him minutes, more confidence.
He's trying to get him, play him into his way into form.
There's something going on after that Scott Dan kick to the knee.
Oh yeah, Alex thinks he's hobbling. Basically, he's playing injured.
Yeah, he's clearly not at full fitness. Right. But two other areas I would be worried about as a City, if I was a City fan. One is Sterling is playing pretty well, but his finishing is poor.
Yes,
he should be scoring more goals.
New.
It's nothing new, but you'd hope that there would be some improvement there. And the other one is that in this game they started off with Fernando and Fernandinho sitting behind Yaya Touré.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now you'd think the three of those players should be able to dominate a midfield opposition of Dyer, Dele Alli, and Christian Eriksen.
Yep.
And they got bossed. They got absolutely bossed.
That's true.
We'll see what happens with them.
Newcastle-Chelsea. That was a good game because, I mean Chelsea, Mourinho has not won at St. James Park in like four or five attempts
ever.
Or whatever.
Six
it was.
Attempts.
Yeah.
Three draws, three losses.
Something ridiculous like that. And
so he can't win against managers whose names are P, and he can't win at St. James's Park.
Awesome. Exactly.
St. James's Park
with a P.
Newcastle started the game with a lot of passion, a lot of grit. Like, that's basically what the fans wanted to see. I remember watching the game and telling my brother, really, the score here is not important for the fans. They just want to see passion, that you care.
Even at 2-2,
they were loving it at 2-2. They stayed the loudest cheer at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, really good from the fans. Anyways, Newcastle started the game 2-0 up.
They were 2-0 up at the hour mark.
Yeah, they weren't given
that
the two
cheating.
They started 2-0 up.
Ayoze and Mitrovic having great games till that point.
That looks like an effective combo.
Yeah.
To be fair, great finish from Ayoze, Perez. But Zuma, absolute shambolic defending. There's no way that this is a Mourinho-drilled defense if the ball is dropping out of midair and Zuma is backing away.
Well, all season, to be honest, they've conceded a ridiculous amount of goals.
I think that's probably Arsene Wenger's fault or Eva Carneiro's fault.
Yes.
Possibly Michael Emanalo,
possibly the head of referees.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he's still mad at Florentino Perez.
Fault, really. I think he's still fuming at what his daughter wore to that gala.
I would be.
I think they just met there. Yeah.
I think this is his way of his players showing that they don't approve of Carneiro's departure.
Yes, they're pulling a galas.
It's not back on the field.
I heard that, you know, some people on the radio this weekend were saying that possibly Mourinho's lost the dressing room.
Yes.
I think his daughter definitely lost the dressing room.
So at 2-0, Newcastle obviously dropped off a bit. And Mourinho brought on, to be fair to him, a sub that made all the difference in the world. Well, two subs, Ramirez and Willian, but Ramirez was unbelievable. He came on. I mean, it's easy to replace Cesc because he wasn't really running
at all.
He did
have one shot on target.
Yes.
You did say that Newcastle played with a hunger in this game, and I think Ramirez was also hungry.
Exactly.
He looks hungry.
He does.
He just had a new kid, and he dedicated his brilliant goal to the kid. That was nice to see. Yeah. And then he was involved in the... Willian's just couple of balls into the box were fantastically like...
I think at this point... Willian came off the bench, right?
Yeah.
I think at this point, Eden Hazard, firstly, was shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Well, I don't know what he was because he wasn't there.
He still had the assist for Ramirez.
No, that little pass to the side. That's the kind of assist also like people...
Do you know
what
that assist is? It's an assist when you can't beat the guy.
Yes,
you pass it off. That's exactly what he did. But Hazard has to be dropped at this point. And Willian should get his spot. And Pedro... Well, actually, should Pedro play?
Ivanovic needs to be dropped big time.
Yeah.
Oh,
Terry's already been dropped. You can drop the whole team if you like.
I think the problem is, I mean, you start dropping everyone, who then plays?
Mourinho himself. On the field. Let's see it.
Yeah. But Hazard was actually... I had two favourite moments in this game. Hazard was involved in one of them, where he got the ball, he ran across the pitch, and Mbabu just followed him for about 20 seconds until he got the ball. And Hazard was so pissed off. Because Mbappe just wouldn't leave him alone.
Because Hazard got past like four players really well, what we expect of him, and then he shot it, and the guy kept running all the way with him from the right back.
That was Mbemba.
Mbemba.
No, it was Mbappe.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Was it?
Yeah. He followed it.
Mbemba was fantastic this game.
Mbemba was my man of the match.
They
were both great.
Definitely making our team of the week.
Second favourite moment, and this is a joint favourite moment, on both the goal celebrations for Newcastle. Go and rewatch this because it's unbelievable. Mitrovic nearly kills Ayoze Perez twice.
Yes.
The first time he jumps on his back, he pushes him and then jumps on him. And the second time he just grabs his hair and starts like walking his head around.
I saw that live, and Mitrovic is huge and he jumps on Ayoze's back.
Yeah.
He's going to break it.
He actually will. Like, someone needs to have a word.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was fantastic.
Especially when Firmino's got a cracked spine from that fall. It's very easy for him to break his back.
True. And that's what Mitrovic does best.
Mm-hmm.
Great result for Newcastle. I mean, it's a shame the way it happened because they were 2-0, but if they can kind of start getting something going from this, that would be great.
For me, it's like if they can play with that intensity and that kind of...
I think that's exactly what Jose Mourinho said in his post-match statement. Why Newcastle don't win games. It's because they don't play like this from week to week.
Yeah.
Well, they might start now.
Yeah. I think you should worry about Chelsea's form first, but anyways.
Absolutely.
United beat Sunderland in a very straightforward performance, 3-0. Mata, I think, was the best player on the field. Is that correct?
Yeah. 100% best player on the field.
Yeah, assist and a goal.
Just his overall play, linking things up. He's not playing as a right winger, by the way. He's playing as a number 10. He's like, I'm starting here on the team sheet. But there is no one else. Like, the right back, Valencia, was just like doing two man's work.
Right.
It was amazing.
Depay scored a goal. And can we say Rooney scored a goal?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Wayne Rooney was so desperate to score, he literally threw everything behind the ball. He didn't care about his feet, his head. He's like, this is going in, I don't care.
I felt that. The minute he hit the ground, I felt that. My seat shook.
Yeah. Well, you know how people describe Rooney as a potato?
Yeah.
He like fell into the goal as if he were a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
Just flopped.
Martial doing great for that. It was all him, really.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I have to say, Martial banking it in off Rooney's leg.
Yes.
It's a deflection.
That's how good Martial has become.
Yes.
He's pinging it off Rooney's knee into the goal. Anyway, so very straightforward. Not much to say there. Big game next week against Arsenal. That should be a cracker to watch.
I enjoyed how disappointed Advocaat was, as if he had any chance of winning this game whatsoever.
Yes. United top of the league, guys?
That is, I mean, you did say on watch Twitter, you're going to see scenes, and it was scenes. Top of the league! It hasn't been done since we lifted the trophy.
Yeah.
So it's a good...
I see that our fans have gotten ahead of themselves.
Of course.
Yeah, that's normal.
Fans will always do that. But on a serious note, United, for me, have been the best team this season so far. City started off unbelievably. They were on fire, but they've shown in the last few games that they can be very dodgy.
That's a tough one.
Chelsea have obviously been terrible.
Consistency wise, United have to take it.
Well, in the sense of that, United have not been shocking, but they've never been brilliant.
That's fine. Alex Ferguson's team grew into the season countless times, right? The first half of the season wasn't always the best, but you're scoring goals, you're not conceding goals. Right, and you can only get better in terms of attacking.
What was that line you had about blind and vision?
Well, yeah, blind. has great vision.
Oh, yeah, right.
Into
I
the microphone with such passion.
You know, for Depay's goal, very quickly, Depay's goal, the ball that Blind played,
mm-hmm.
reminded me
Tomata.
Of, yes,
mm.
reminded me of the Frank de Boer to
yes.
the Bergkamp.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, Blind, the
because
second goal.
Dutch.
Yeah.
The second goal, the Rooney goal, was also from a Blind crossfield pass.
There you go.
Exact identical ball.
He's playing great. Liverpool beating Aston Villa just 3-2. I remember, I think Liverpool were like 3-0 or 3-1
up. Why did you find that funny?
2-0.
I'll tell you why. Because at 3 or 3-1, people on Twitter were like, Brendan Rodgers keeps his job for another week. Some other guy was like, you know what? Liverpool won, but they're actually losers because Brendan gets to keep his job. All that kind of thing. And then it started to get closer and closer. And I was like, ooh, can Villa do this? That would be fantastic. But at the end, it wasn't enough.
That's actually a good point because I was listening to the United podcast. And they literally said, you know what? We want Brendan to win this game. Brendan should keep
yeah.
his job because Brendan is just a he's
it's
a blessing.
Fantastic. Yeah, for everyone else, that's true. Sturridge is back,
oh.
which Liverpool fans will love, and just people who enjoy watching
he's
football because
and dancing.
And dancing,
yeah. yeah,
correct.
No, as a neutral, Sturridge is a brilliant player to watch.
He is. His first goal after being out so long with that volley was great. I mean,
I just can't be neutral.
No, he did really well. Scoring two goals, Milner with an assist and a goal.
Mm.
Milner had a great game as well. Coutinho, same thing. And Gusted with just, he can't stop scoring.
That man, I mean, A, he scored with his feet, which,
yep.
as I tweeted yesterday, I didn't know was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure he was able to do that. But the header for the second goal was unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
So is he a poor man's Andy Carroll?
No. He's a rich man's Andy Carroll.
Yeah. So yeah, Liverpool with an important 3 points. Brendan Rodgers with an important 3 points.
Yeah.
He really needed that. He came out and said, yes, I am, you know, might lose my job.
But he also slagged off ex-Liverpool players and the media for you know, a vendetta against him.
Steven Gerrard.
Amongst others.
Yeah. Anyway, so good 3 points for Liverpool. Other games to go through really quickly. Southampton beat Swansea 3-1. You know, Tadic, Mane scoring, Van Dijk scoring. Swansea have tailed off recently.
Yeah, Swansea and Southampton have kind of reversed roles
yes.
in the last few weeks, right?
Yeah, I think the Gary Monk for England campaign that you were trying to start, Alex, probably doesn't have as much weight.
No, this is perfect. He's mediocre.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, true.
If he's
exactly.
any good, he wouldn't get the job.
It was exactly after I said Jonjo Shelvey for Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
That he is
yeah.
completely retired.
Yes, he doesn't play anymore. West Ham, Norwich 2-2. West Ham finally not losing a home game.
Just, though.
Andy Carroll coming on at the end, involved in that last goal.
Caused some chaos.
He was great because the ball came in. The Norwich keeper, what's his name?
Ruddy.
Yeah, Ruddy. He punched it out, which was should have been end of the play,
yeah.
but it bounced right back off Carroll's head into the danger zone.
Carroll is just a big twat.
Yeah.
He just
yeah.
stood right there.
He's like bringing a horse onto the field.
Yeah, so, you know, 1 point for West Ham there. Not too bad. Kouyaté scoring that last one. Stoke beating Bournemouth. I mean, Mark Hughes needed this win.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, he needed it. 2-1. Walters and Diouf scoring. Diouf in the, like the 83rd or 84th in the right.
Unfortunately, Callum Wilson with a knee
Oof.
Ligament injury.
Oh,
I was trying to see him out for
that's
a long
really
time.
Bad for Bournemouth.
It looked like he'd been so he initially had that challenge, he collapsed, he had the test, he came back on, and then it looked like he'd been sniped.
Right.
Like he was just
yeah.
running and then just crumbled.
I feel if you have to have a knee stability test in the first place, you should probably leave the pitch.
Not come back on, yeah.
yeah.
And I'm just saying Eva Carneiro probably would have done a better job.
She would have been
free
on the fast
there. Someone
yeah.
sign her up.
Yeah.
He would have recovered in no time as well.
I think the opposite, to be honest. But anyways. Watford, last game. Today, it was weird. There's only one game on the Sunday.
To be fair, Everton haven't played yet.
So. Yeah, Everton are playing tomorrow. Watford losing to Crystal Palace 1-0. Kabay with a penalty. It was. I saw the game. It was a pretty non-event. Nothing happened. Like,
excellent penalty. Moving on.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
Was Kike Flores still beautiful?
Yes,
okay.
of course.
Is good. Pardew too good for England now?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's do Momo of the Week.
Yes.
Momo
of the Week.
Of the Week. Unsurprisingly, Momo of the Week this week goes to Tim Sherwood.
Again.
Serial winner. Not
serial
like...
Momo.
Serial
Momo. What's his Momo win percentage?
It's extremely high.
Yeah.
Anyway,
as high as the price tag you put on Jack Grealish.
That's an excellent segue.
16 million points.
Yeah, okay, I was going to start with the other one, but let's start here. He said that he would not sell Jack Grealish for £60 million.
Too bad it's not up to him.
Yes.
And it's funny because Randy Lerner is trying to sell the club.
Yes.
If you give him 60 million, he'd be like, get the hell out of here.
He will get the 60, sell the club, and go party. He's like, I'm done. I've done what I need to do.
It's true. As Bernie said, I think I would sell him for 16.
Yeah.
Anyway, the second thing is, we were talking about Brendan Rodgers and how he thinks there's a media vendetta against him. Tim Sherwood is definitely not part of that vendetta because he thinks that the season after Liverpool came second, Brendan Rodgers could have just as easily managed Real Madrid.
The Castilla?
To be fair, it might do better than Zidane.
All right.
Maybe.
Only if he takes Suarez with him, though. I think this week, Rishay has something new that we've never done, which is the anti-Momo.
Yeah, there was a real standout this week, and it's from Xabi Alonso, and he demonstrated such intelligence, the anti-Tim Sherwood of the week.
Right.
And so he came on to Bloomberg.com, and he was talking about his diversified portfolio of investments.
Which is crazy to hear a footballer speak about.
Yeah, he was very eloquent in his speech, and he made perfect sense. He knew the Spanish economy was growing at 3% per year.
Yeah.
He knows that the conditions are bad right now, but they're improving.
That's impressive.
So what is he invested in?
He didn't say exactly what, but he did say that there was some real estate here, there was some financials here.
So we're giving him credit for watching CNN?
No, we're giving him credit for actually being a breath of fresh air, to be honest.
I mean, could you imagine Rooney talking about his...
No. Could you imagine Rooney talking? No.
To be fair, Robbie Fowler has a massive real estate portfolio.
Oh, I thought that was going somewhere else.
Well, we know about Thomas Gravesen having some real,
real
high-value stocks. But sure. I mean, it's nice to see a current player.
I thought he made his money from poker.
No, I think someone else.
It's models and stuff. Oh, okay. Anyways, brilliant stuff.
I think that was Teddy Sheringham, actually.
All right, so we haven't done the Bundesliga in a while, and it's, as usual, a two-horse race. But Andy Carroll and Bayern Munich.
Peter Krupp.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about Dortmund for a bit, because we haven't, and they've surprised a few people. After Klopp leaving, we thought they might not do as well as they have under him. And they've been doing really well. Aubameyang is doing insane up front right now.
I don't think they'll ever roll off your tongue
correctly. Never.
Aubameyang.
I just call him Aub, which is what people call it. But anyways.
Obvious.
He has like 9 goals in the league. He broke the record for this scoring in 7 consecutive Bundesliga games at the start of the season. He's doing fantastically well, and I'm enjoying watching him. Kagawa is back in the fold. He's playing really, really well. Mkhitaryan is having a fantastic season.
Oh, say it again.
But, at least you can say that.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, today they did draw at home, which is a shame going into their Bayern Munich. Yeah, because they're going into the Bayern Munich game.
Let's say this about Dortmund. They had a great start. I think it was 5-5 or something like that. They've drawn the last 2.
Yeah.
So they went from Klopp 2013 to Klopp last season in the space of 2 weeks. So let's see how they do next weekend when they face Bayern Munich.
I think they're going to do just fine. I think they might even beat them, to be honest.
Really? You think with Lewandowski in this form that they're going
to
beat them?
That's another thing we want to talk about. Lewandowski has been insane recently.
But just before we do that, and we were talking about Aubameyang, and he did say, before the 2 draws, he did say that Bayern Munich were not going to win the league this year. And since he said that, it's all gone to shit.
So all he has to do is say that Bayern Munich will win the league this year.
It would help.
Right.
Yeah. Probably a little.
Pressure
just a little bit.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's talk about Lewandowski.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, that was... I remember we were all at work at the time, and it just started to roll in the news on Twitter that, like, something incredible has happened. And we're like, what? And it was like, Lewandowski had just scored 5 goals in 9 minutes. No. It's like, come on. So the highlights of that game was just those 9 minutes. Part,
okay, I was at work, like everyone else here in this room.
Yeah.
And I thought was, like, an advertisement. Like, some stupid pop-up somewhere on the side of the screen. Lewandowski, 5 goals in 9 minutes.
Right.
I was like, you know what, I'm closing this webpage.
Coming soon to a cinema.
Exactly. But then, later on that evening, hours later, I actually went onto the homepage of a bunch of websites, and I saw that he actually scored 5 goals in 9 minutes.
It was and then you watched the highlights, and they were great goals.
Yeah,
great.
So this
goals.
Is one of those, you knew where you were when this happened because you were at
work.
And you didn't believe it.
Yeah.
No, because for me, it was literally, I said, man, I'm just going to check the scores of games, see what's up. Oh, Bayern Munich and Volk, that's a good game. what?
When you see the minutes just roll off on the thing so fast.
It's just, yeah, and for it to be Dante as well is kind of funny.
Yes, yeah, I enjoyed that too.
At the heart of the Wolves.
The 7-1, it wasn't enough.
At this point, retirement should be on his yes, mind, because he can't catch a break.
He should pick up on the signs. wasn't there a fan in the stands, a Wolfsburg fan, who went to the washroom for 10 minutes, came back,
like
and his
yes.
life was over?
I also enjoyed Guardiola just kind of laughing because he didn't know what else to do. To be fair,
he subbed them on. Lewandowski didn't even start the game.
Yeah.
And Guardiola just put his hand on his head for like 10 minutes going, what just happened?
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a record. Lewandowski now has the record for the fastest hat-trick in the Bundesliga and obviously the 5 goals in 9 minutes.
And Guardiola has record for best substitution ever made in any game,
yes,
in any
ever,
sport.
Ever.
It angered me because it beat Solskjaer scoring 4 goals in 15 minutes.
13.
Like, Thank you. But now I just have to...
Right. That was a sub too, eh?
Yeah.
Was... Oh, okay.
To be fair, Andy Cole scored 5 against Ipswich in like 19
yeah,
like,
no
minutes.
Yeah, at no point were any of the teams one-nil down.
No,
so,
but
to be fair,
Solskjaer was against Nottingham Forest at the end of the season.
What's your problem?
this is Wolfsburg.
I like what's his name against Arsenal? Robbie Fowler, the three, the hat-trick.
That was
impressive too, to be
fair. Did Mark Viduka do the same thing against Arsenal?
Mark Viduka ate 3 pies in 2 minutes.
Ah.
Oh, I thought that was Rooney.
Bayern beat Mainz 3-0 away as well this week. Lewandowski scoring another 2 in like 6 minutes.
Well,
so
12
minutes. That's 100
yeah.
for Bayern
yeah.
now, huh? I think, for him.
Yes,
one,
he had it under his shirt and he...
Already?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's been like a season and a half or whatever.
That's ridiculous.
But he doesn't feel like he
actually,
scored any goals.
No, that's not right, because it's 100 goals in the Bundesliga. So that includes
oh, it's
his
Bayern.
Goals.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
there's no way.
He's been there for a long time. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it for the Bundesliga. Pretty exciting next week to watch this game. I'm going to make an effort to actually see it because it's going to be good.
Yep.
La Liga, we're not going to really talk about too much, except just for people who care. Messi is injured for 8 weeks now, which he rarely is injured. So this is a bit weird. Like, he's rarely out. He's out now, and apparently he's just going to be back in time for the Clásico, which I think neutrals would
like
to see.
Is the first Clásico in 2 months from now?
I think.
Really?
That's what they're saying. They're saying back in
it's about 6 weeks from now, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can send any kind of hate tweets you want to at Alex, Lucas, Nathan, but I'm actually quite in... I'm enjoying this.
Okay.
Just to see what happens. Like, to
that's
see whether...
That's Alex, Lucas, Nathan.
Not at under the cosh mark.
That's Lucas with a K, right?
Yeah.
Send the hate there.
Bring it. I just want to see what happens. Will Suarez and Neymar step up? Neymar said he wants to emulate Messi. He already missed a penalty, so he's doing a great job
and
so
the taxes,
far.
The taxes.
Why did he
so
shave his head? I don't understand.
Rumors are his grandmother has cancer.
Oh, now I feel bad for questioning why he shaved his head.
Nonetheless, I just think it makes things a bit more interesting. As does Villarreal beating Atleti this weekend. That was nice.
As also Madrid not able to score a goal in a La Liga game.
Mm-mm.
Something good coming out of Madrid, though. Keylor Navas.
Oh, he's having
in his first 6 games, has broken Casillas'
record.
His clean sheet record.
How about Florentino Perez?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just leave it alone?
Yes.
Let Keylor Navas be your goalkeeper.
You can.
I think he signed a 6-year contract anyway.
He,
let him have that, and De Gea can stay, and everyone is okay.
Is Keylor Navas a Galactico? No. De Gea
you know what?
Is.
He's not even Spanish. He's Central American. They don't like him.
No. PK today, I don't know if this is even relevant, went and voted for independent Catalonia or whatever.
Is
oh,
that
yeah,
what was on his mind when he was playing the game at Celta Vigo and he was absolutely
he was
terrible?
So Barca losing 4-1, guys. What?
Okay, so this must be something to do with the independent Catalonia vote.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see how it turns out, because if they do split...
Yeah.
Will Barcelona still play in La Liga?
Yes.
Will Valencia still play in La Liga?
Yes.
Valencia is not in
Catalonia.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Barcelona will still play because they'll do a Monaco playing in Liga type.
Exactly.
Type
okay.
All right. I'm glad we said we're not going to speak about La Liga. Let's move on to the MLS. We will speak about Serie A at the very end. So TFC are right now on 43 points in fifth, which is looking good for a playoff berth. And,
yes. I'm going to go ahead and say it. The Messi of the MLS plays in TFC.
You got it wrong. Messi is the Argentinian Giovinco.
That's also correct.
Correct.
Yes. But yes, TFC beating Chicago Fire 3-2.
Yeah.
Fantastic performance. Bradley scoring, Altidore scoring, and obviously the big Osorio. He's fantastic. I love him.
Yeah.
Osorio?
Yeah, that.
Dwayne D. Rosario?
No.
Osorio.
Osorio.
Yeah. Like
a cookie. But yeah, with sorry in front.
Anyway, Giovinco with three assists.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Giovinco with three assists. That last one for Osorio, people are like, did he mean it into the goal? Is this a Nani? Is this a Nani kind of Ronaldo thing?
I think he meant it.
I mean, why would you use that technique?
Because he thinks he's Rositsky. Yeah, man.
That Tottenham one? Is that what you're talking
about? No, Messi thinks he's Giovinco.
Oh, yes. My God. I think Giovinco meant that goal.
Okay, anyways, that's a fantastic win for TFC. It would be great to see them in the playoffs. A lot of the Toronto teams this season seem to like they're going to make it in the playoffs. I mean, the
Blue Jays made it.
TFC should make it. So it's quite exciting for the city. You know, more traffic jams and stuff. Fantastic.
I know, beautiful.
Yeah. Awful. So they have four more games. Mm-hmm. Three home games and one away game, which is versus Montreal. And if they just kind of get two wins, they're fine.
Okay. What's going to be really funny is if TFC make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And then they lose in the first round, they'll still party outside.
Because they made it. It's about making the playoffs. Exactly. Yeah, it's the first time
in
9 years.
No one cares whether they actually win or not. They just want to be there.
That last game against Montreal is going to be fun because Drogba has been playing quite well for them.
He's been killing.
As Bernie pointed out, he seems to care. He's really kind of invested in this.
He likes playing for teams that wear blue. And he's playing in Quebec for Montreal.
So
they speak French over there.
They understand.
He feels at home. Exactly.
Perfect.
But today, he scored a 40-yard free kick.
It was brilliant. It was like the third minute of the game.
My question is, are Montreal in playoff contention?
Montreal are 1 point behind TFC in the standings.
In sixth. So they are in playoffs right now.
So how many go to the playoffs?
Six.
Oh, so it could be Montreal and Toronto.
We could have two Canadian teams in the...
Western Conference, Vancouver Whitecaps are top of the league.
Mm-hmm. Actually... Like Bernie said, that last game, Toronto-Montreal could be a decider for a sixth spot. You never know.
Yeah. Shame it's not here. It's in Montreal.
Oh, we could still make a trip out of it.
Yeah, maybe.
We should. Okay, anyway, that's for another time. But we should really think about that.
And if anyone else wants to come with us, you can always tweet us.
No.
underscore the car.
Don't come.
Anyway, so like we promised, a bit of Serie A talk. We have, well, before we get into that, Inter's form is worthy of noting.
Yeah,
six wins in a row. Mancini doing great there.
1-0 to the Inter in almost all of them.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, it's very easy to win games when you pay the referees.
Guys, Felipe Melo scored a goal. That's what...
Hey, what's his name scored a free kick for Sunderland? Envia. Come on, that's just as bad.
True.
Yeah. I don't know, I kind of put those two together, like they're the same
person. Well, they replaced each other,
right.
Melo and Envia.
Right.
But they've been playing with three defensive midfielders. Melo... Kondogbia and...
Borian is kind of advanced.
Yeah.
I love how ironic his name is. He's definitely not Melo.
No, he's not. He's a nutcase.
AC Milan playing not bad. Balotelli kind of bringing it a bit.
They still lost 1-0 today, though.
Yeah.
Baka's been great.
Baka's a great player.
Yep. Scoring goals, praying, all the stuff he does.
He does that?
Maybe he's a positive influence on Balotelli.
Very
possibly. They say he's been a good boy.
Bacatelli. As a combo?
Stop it.
Okay.
but Alex, tell us what we have today.
So today we're just going to hear a little clip. I had the chance to speak to Cathal Marlon, who is the founder of Lazio Land, the website. A good website for anyone who is interested or supports Lazio all around the world. They have followers everywhere, especially in Indonesia, actually.
Cahal's doing pretty good in our prediction league, too.
He is doing very well.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff.
Who's top of that?
Keep going.
Doesn't matter. It changes.
Am I
it changes week to week. Lazio had a brilliant season last season, ended up in the Champions League qualifiers, lost it unfortunately to Kaiserslautern, and they've started this Serie A season pretty badly. So I spoke to Cathal to try and find out why. So I'm joined now by Cathal Marlon, who is the owner and operator, I think, of LazioLand.com, the football website dedicated to Lazio and Lazio fans all around the world. Cathal, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome, Alex. Good to talk to you.
Now, as we speak, Lazio are 1-0 down to Verona, is that right?
That's correct, unfortunately.
And unfortunately for you, that has been indicative somewhat of the season so far.
It has, really... Well, 1-0 is almost decent for our away form. We've lost by at least three goals in all away games this season. 3-0 Leverkusen, 4-0 at Chievo, so at this same stadium as we're playing at the minute, and 5-0 with Napoli. And we've sort of struggled to hold wins, but as our away form is really, really concerning this season, yeah.
So in Serie A, you've won three and you've lost two, but it's really, as you were mentioning, the nature of the defeats that seems to have been troubling. You know, the 4-0 at Chievo, 5-0 at Napoli.
What has caused those defeats? Or has it just been bad defending, or has there been other factors at play?
Well, I think the most obvious explanation would be injuries to key players. We've been missing Stefan de Vrij, who most would consider to be our best centre-back. Lucas Bélier, our holding midfield player, who's our newly appointed captain as of this season. And also Miroslav Klose. And as much as he's getting on in years, he's very much important to how we play and still has a lot to offer. So I think that explains some of it, but it doesn't explain why the away form has been so poor, why the results have spiraled as out of control as they have. I think we're just lacking resilience. I think we've had quite a difficult summer. Pre-season was sort of here, there and everywhere. We had to go to the Beijing for the Super Cup, which we lost. We're really keen to win that game to sort of kickstart our season before the Champions League playoff. And then, of course, we ended up sort of throwing that away as well. We wouldn't say we were a better team over two legs. I mean, Leverkusen definitely deserved it. But the manner in which we lost that game, we were sort of well-disciplined and organised, and we had the tie in our hands, and then we sort of threw it away with some big errors. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of having a difficult summer, a difficult start to the season, and then some key injuries. I think some players, once they find themselves in a losing position in games, they've sort of let the situation get out of control too easily. So it's something we're going to have to put right very quickly.
But that defeat to Leverkusen in the Champions League qualifier leads me on very well to my next question, because last season went so well for Lazio. You qualified for the Champions League for the first time in a long time, and it was a very, very impressive campaign. And then obviously only to get to the qualifiers and get knocked out. So what happened over the summer? I mean, what has changed since last season? Did the transfer window not go as you expected it to, or I mean, what do you attribute the struggle of the new season to?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important to mention that we weren't in Europe last season. So as well as we played last season, I think there was an element that we were quite fresh towards the end of the season. We had an 8-game unbeaten run in the league, winning run even. And I think part of our sort of the dip can be explained with just having additional commitments, you know, this season.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a bit of a strange summer. It was a very quiet summer for Lazio, but two things were, I think, you could ask questions about. One was appointing Lucas Bélier as captain. His leadership skills, I think, have been pretty much hidden so far. I mean, he's a key player for us, but I'm not sure anyone would have picked him out as a leader before he's appointed. And he's been with the team for a relatively short period of time compared to other players, so perhaps that caused a bit of tension in the dressing room. Antonio Candreva's agent made remarks to suggest that Candreva was upset about it, so I think there might be a bit of tension there. And also letting Stefano Mauri go at the start of the window and then bring him back at the end of the window once he'd been cleared and the match fixing scandal, also a bit of a strange decision. But yeah, I think transfer-wise, we brought in a lot of young players, very, very young players, people that we regard as talents. I mean, Ravel Morrison, people will know him very well. And I think they're gambles, and it's going to take time this season for these players to really be able to offer something. I mean, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic and Ricardo Kishina have started their Lazio careers pretty well. They look like good signings already, but they're the ones we've invested the most money in. So it's sort of, they're the only ones who really, I think, could seriously, you know, make their way into the team. And I think it's going to take time. And having not reinforced for this season, you know, more so for the future, I think that was a problem when it came to Leverkusen. We just had a few players out, and it looked like we had a few players out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so again, you led me on very well to the next couple of questions. I know you have to get back to the game, so very quickly, how do you see the rest of the campaign going? It's obviously early, it's going to be difficult to predict, but do you think Lazio will kind of level out?
I think it's hard to say. It depends on whether the team lose a bit of faith in Stefano Pioli. I think he really got them to buy into his tactics last year, a more attack-minded philosophy, and I think that's constantly being tested this season, because With the absentees, it looks like we're not able to play the same game. So I think it's really a question of whether we can sort of maintain the philosophy we had last season, you know, and progress with that. I think it could be a bit hit and miss this season. You know, I would expect us to maybe make Europe if everything went according to plan. But I do think there's a danger that there'll be a season where, you know, it's well, we won't we get into Europe. I don't think we'll be anywhere near the top three, really, the way it's going. But then it's been a strange start to the league so far this season. You know, nobody's picking up points. But I just think I would probably fancy all the teams to come good before us, you know. So it's definitely a bit worrying at the minute, especially this away form. It's a problem, really.
Fair enough. And lastly, you and I collaborated on an article last season trying to explain what on earth Ravel Morrison was doing transferring to Lazio and what Lazio wanted from him. And he hasn't been there very long, just joined up in the summer. Pioli already has come out saying that he's struggling, which is perhaps to be expected. But what is the latest with Ravel Morrison?
There's reports during the week in Italy that he had been faking injury a week or two ago and had returned home to England. Now, these are the kind of stories I'd expect to be written, you know, about Ravel, given the reputation he has, you know. And I mean, he also made comments on Twitter. There was Stefano Pioli made the comment in a press conference that that basically Morrison had no Italian at this stage, whereas we know other players are learning the language, and Morrison sort of responded to that by saying on Twitter that Carlos Tevez never spoke Italian when he was playing in Italy. So I think there's a bit of a situation there. It's just whether it's being exaggerated by the media or being accurately portrayed is difficult to know. But at the moment, he's getting probably more minutes than maybe he deserves. You know, there's other players that I would think are on as good a level that aren't getting the same minutes. So I think Pioli's trying to find a way of bringing him into this team and sort of kick-starting his career. But what worries me about that is whether he's doing that because maybe if Morrison doesn't show something soon, maybe they look to move him on in January, because it seems a little strange that, you know, that you would give so much time, you know,
yeah,
to a player that you seem to be criticising publicly. It's a bit strange.
That is a bit weird and slightly odd of Morrison. I mean, I take his point with the Tevez thing, but, you know, Tevez is a bit more established and delivering on a weekly basis.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I think Morrison really needs to realise that. I mean, the fans couldn't be any more behind him, really, you know. Lazio fans, I think back to Gaza and realise, you know, we've had characters over the years. If he's another one, then you can put up with whatever baggage comes with him. But I think Ravel needs to realise that, you know, he needs to sort of take control of his own career. And Pioli's given him minutes here and there. And Morrison just needs to do something with him. If he does, it could work out. But, I mean, if it doesn't, you'd be worried about him being here long term. He's on a long contract, but things don't seem settled, really. So yeah, it's a worry.
All right, well, let's hope it works out and that we don't have to see him kind of swanning around the pitch for QPR or something later this season. Kedar, we better leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.